Bill, we're welcoming a good friend of mine and a great person for mentoring. She's the Associate Vice President of Mentoring and Professional and Career Development at Wake Forest University, Dr. Allison McWilliams. When I heard Allison was coming to New York City, we were on a Zoom call, and my first thought was, great, we'll grab coffee. We'll catch up, we'll prepare for our next mentoring roundtable meeting. And then I was like, wait, forget coffee. Like, we got to get her on the podcast. We have to spill the career tea. So Allison, welcome. It's great to have you here. I'm really excited to have you and share some good advice. Why don't you tell us what you'd like us to know about you?
Sure. Yeah. Thrilled to be here. Yes. I will say Jerry immediately said, come on the podcast. So I'm excited to be here and have enjoyed watching all the other episodes. So it's great to join that group of people. So yeah, I'm Allison. I am at Wake Forest University. I have been in my role in a variety of manners for 15 years. So I'm a Wake Forest alum, graduated in 95, went down to the University of Georgia, was there for about 15 years, did my master's, got my doctorate along the way, was working in leadership development, organizational development, running mentoring programs around the state of Georgia, but also for the university. And about the time I finished up my doctorate, I grew up in North Carolina. All my family is in North Carolina. And it was like, yeah, it's time to leave Athens, Georgia. I always say I went down there for 2 years and somehow stayed for 15, as one does when one goes to Athens.
Pretty good football team.
Right.
You got to admit
that,
right?
And when I was there, not quite as good as they are now, and I had season tickets and really good seats, I have to say. Couldn't get those now. Wasn't necessarily looking to come back to Wake Forest, but this job kind of showed up that was to come back and create what we call our Mentoring Resource Center. And I work for a man named Andy Chan, who had come in from Stanford the year before with a charge to take that traditional career services model and really blow it up, you know, and really think about how we could do that work differently. He came in as a cabinet level role, reporting both to the president and the provost, which at that time also was different in this world. And one of the things he was asked to do was to create this mentoring center. And he didn't know what that was. I didn't know what that was. But we kind of clicked on our vision for what that could be and how we might do that work. And so I came in 2010 to start that, which is fundamentally student focused. So, and what I mean by that is whether it's faculty mentoring students, alumni mentoring students, other students mentoring students, the student is always the mentee in that scenario. And really it's around building this culture of mentorship at Wake Forest. And then along the way, a few years later, he and I were talking about how we do a lot of things with our alumni. We ask a lot of things of our alumni, but we weren't doing really anything for our alumni. And particularly as the world has changed, the world of work has changed, universities have changed. You know, when I graduated in the mid-90s, it was kind of like, great, good luck, you know, hope it works out. And it does, and it did. But the expectations have changed for a variety of reasons. And also we had put all of these resources and all of this emphasis on this career office, you know, saying, you know, we're going to provide all of this support to you. And what that office is called is the Office of Personal and Career Development. And we shorten it to say the OPCD. And suddenly people were saying, students were saying, young alumni, well, where's my OPCD for life? And so I started doing that work, which at first was, you know, very, let's just pilot some things, let's try some things. And then eventually we got more organized. And so now I oversee the Mentoring Resource Center, but also what we call our Alumni Personal and Career Development Center. And so that is basically point of graduation forward. And it is focused on supporting you as you figure out job number one, as you figure out job number five, number 10, you know, but also how does life fit into that? How, you know, how are you thinking about career development more holistically, how it fits into your life and all of that good stuff. And here we are.
Yeah, it's also, was it Andy who had this vision? I mean, and Jerry, you've explained to me and Wake Forest broke the model during exactly what you said. Yeah. But where did the impetus for that come from? Because so many students talk to us, and we'll get to it, they never even show up in the Career Center. Yeah. What was the vision and what generated, we're going to blow it up?
Yeah. And I will say I was one of them. I always say, like, I was a really good, solid liberal arts student. I was English and Spanish. Mm. And I think I walked into the career office once and turned around and like walked right back out again. Right? Could have used a little more time in the career office perhaps. But yeah. And then I wouldn't, you know, we certainly still have those struggles. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, and we've got it all figured out and we're perfect. Right. I mean, and one of the things that I always say is the nice things about college is every 4 years, you have a whole new population of students. Right. And one of the challenging thing about college is every 4 years, you have a whole new population of students, right? And so it's a constant education process, a constant marketing process, right? You're constantly having to tell them why they should come in and do the work. But yeah, it really was Andy's vision. And I think, and in collaboration with our president at the time, he was really close to who was our School of Business dean, his son. So Andy was at Stanford at the time, and Steve Reinemann, who was the dean of the business school, his son was in a class that Andy taught, which was called Career and Life Vision. And so they all kind of came together, and it was this idea that really built upon who and what Wake Forest is, and like a lot of other good liberal arts schools, you know, it's this idea that we can't just be in a place of job placement anymore, right? It can't just be, let us help you get that first job. But really, we have to help you figure out how can you be employable for life? And that means starting with really what's on the personal side of that personal and career development. So who are you? What matters to you? What are your strengths? What are your interests? And then how does all of that inform some of these career decisions? And knowing that you're not going to have just one job for the rest of your life. You know, work just doesn't work that way anymore, if it ever did. And so giving them those tools and those skills to do that work, too.
So that's interesting. You use the words job placement. That's a big no-no with us. We do not do job placement. We prepare you for your first role. You know, we build skills. We teach you how to look for opportunities. We help you learn how to network and things like that. It's a misnomer to say that we're in the business of job placement.
Yeah.
But one of the most interesting things about Allison is her ability to bridge emotional and practical aspects of early career. You're so good with the development. Tell us how that evolved for you.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. That's interesting.
I say it and I can prove it because of your book, Five for Your First Five, Own Your Career and Life After College. Yeah. It's a great read. I definitely suggest that you pick this up. Bill, this is your copy.
My copy?
I read it already. Nice. So
I need it signed, though. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, we'll get it signed.
Of course.
Oh, if you're going to sign it, I'll keep it. But anyway. I'm thrown off just slightly today because we're in these white chairs. I don't know what happened with our chairs, but somebody took two of our chairs. Did you notice that?
Well, Ben told me and apologized for it.
Okay, we're going to work on getting the right chairs back for next time, but I digress.
Is it throwing off your balance a bit?
Yeah. You don't like the white chairs?
It's not that I don't like them, but it's not really a Bill and Jerry experience. Right. So, Allison, you'll have to come back when we get the right chair.
Back to the book, Jerry.
That's right.
But please expound upon your.
That's it. Well, it's an interesting question because I think people who know me, fundamentally who I am a very tactical, strategic, practical person in kind of all aspects of my life. And I am someone who kind of goes straight to the, okay, what is the issue? What is the need? What is the problem? Can we put a plan in place? You know, that part of it. I always say, like, I have to-do lists from a weekends. Like, I'm that girl, right? And also, I came into this work to do the mentoring piece, which is all about relationship building, right? And I always say, you know, on that Office of Personal and Career Development, my office sits very squarely on the personal side of things. In that, you know, who are you and what matters to you and how are you figuring things out? And who are the people who are going to help you on the way to do that work? And so I think what's nice, particularly, and that, you know, in the student-facing work, that informs the career piece. On the alumni side, I would say that relationship building piece, they kind of fit together, right? The way that we do the career stuff is really thinking deeply intentionally about the relational stuff. And so, you know, and while we do certainly have a lot of conversations with alumni about, you know, job search and resumes and all of those practical, tactical things, you know, particularly right in this moment, we have a lot of people who are job searching. And so that's a lot of what we do. We also have a lot of conversations around, you know, I'm trying to figure out my next steps and here's what I'm trying to figure out about what I want out of life. You know, I just had a meeting with an alum yesterday here in New York who is, trying to weigh between I have this kind of safe and comfortable role that I can kind of do with my eyes closed. And then I have this opportunity that feels big and scary and I might fail at it. And it's exactly what I want to do. And also I'm getting married in a month and my entire life is changing and help me figure this out. Mm. Right. And there are no easy answers there. Right. And so helping someone like that kind of walk through those steps and really think about, okay, what do you want? And, you know, what could happen and what are the opportunities and where do you need to find more information to inform this decision? You know, so that's, I think it's all part and parcel of that.
Yeah. It's built into your personality and your caring for people.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah, absolutely.
Was that the motivation for the book or did that come the second book? I know you have a first one we'll get to, but what drove you to publish that?
So the first five book was written. So we were back in that time when we were kind of just trying some things out. Mm-hmm. One of the things we did, and so just to tell a story on Andy. So one of the things I love about working for Andy, Andy's a big idea guy, which is what makes it really fun to work for him. And he is someone who is, he loves, he's a startup guy, right? So he's kind of wired that way. And so it's not limiting if you can kind of figure out how to follow through on that work. And so he came to me at one point. He had gone to this conference and met this woman named Sharon Delos Parks. She's a professor out west. And she had done a lot of work talking about how we ought to be doing this 4+4 model. So let's get them. We do a really good job getting people through the 4 years of school, but we should also help them in the 4 years after. Mm. And he came back very fired up about this. And he said, you know, you have all these great relationships with these young alumni. You have great relationships with students. Why don't you run around the country and pull them together and talk to them about their life? And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you run around the country and pull people together and talk to them about their life. But the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And so we started our mentoring group program, which now has been going for 10 plus years. And we pulled together groups of alumni for these deep dive discussion groups, but with intentionality behind it. We have a young alumni version, and now we have a new manager version of it. But when I started it, you know, I sort of cobbled together some curriculum for it because I'm someone who I like a book, I like a reading, I like something kind of to react to for that. And we were also using at the time Meg Jay's great book, Defining Decade. And at a certain point, I got very tired of sending Meg Jay money. And I was like, I can write a book. And so the Fire for Your First Five book really came out of those mentoring groups. And we still use it. And also it's for people who can't attend those things or don't want to, but still want to have the content. And it also, you know, so it came from that specific experience, but it also came from a place of we were getting asked by a lot of alumni things like, where's the playbook for this stuff? Mm. Or someone needs to tell me exactly what it is I need to do to be successful. Mm-hmm. And this book certainly does not answer that question. But what we do say is we strongly believe if you master these five things mm-hmm. in your first 5 years, you will be well on your way. It does not cover everything, but it is broad enough, but also focused enough. Because what we know is, you know, when you are in a place where people keep telling you, you can do anything, the world is your oyster, you have the entire internet at your fingertips, mm-hmm. right? Which is also very different from when we came along.
Sure.
What you actually need is someone to narrow things down for you, right? To help you make decisions mm-hmm. easier. And also for us, you know, when you say we are alumni personal and career development, well, you could put just about anything under that bucket. Mm. And so we also needed to get focused to say, okay, what are the things that we're really going to be focused on? And so we're going to help you figure out how to do work successfully. We're going to help you figure out, you know, how do you build a life? How do you find people to help you? How do you reflect deeply and seek out feedback and respond to feedback when people give it to you? Because we think those are just critical skills. And then how are you going to use all of that information that you're gathering to figure out what that next step is? And those are the five things. Mm. The book is nice. You know, the book is fun. It's nice to have a vehicle that you can just hand people, but mm-hmm. it's really about the content, right? And if you go to our website, it builds out into other content from there.
And the book is sort of a workbook too.
Absolutely.
Students or young alumni can use it to make lists, jot yes. down notes.
Yes. And it's meant to be that way, right?
Right?
So, and again, if you don't attend one of our things, like these are the questions I would be asking you, or I would ask you to do a values reflection exercise. I would ask you to think about, okay, how are you spending your time? You only have so much time and you've got to figure out what goes in there and what gets cut, you know, when you are a young professional. How are you thinking about seeking out feedback when you're not getting it in a professional environment, mm-hmm. but you need it. And you're also going to go through a performance review. And what is that experience going to be, right? So it's whether or not you talk to me. And what I think one of the best compliments I get are people who know me, when they read it, they will say, I could hear your voice when I was reading mm. this. Like, this sounds just like you. And I'm like, good. That was the point. That was the goal with it. So yeah, so it's meant to be a workbook.
So for students as well, in other words, it is about mm-hmm. the first five yeah. years, right?
Yes.
But isn't it applicable as well? When a junior or senior says, mm-hmm. what do I want to do, right? And I'm going to ask you to reiterate the yeah. 5 points yeah. again, because I haven't read the book yet.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll. So can students benefit and give us the five again?
I think they can. Now, we do obviously have an entire group of people, entire office who is focused on student career development,
understood.
Right? And I think one of the differences that I say a lot between working with students and then working with alumni, with students, it often sits in a very theoretical place. So it's often a, you're gonna thank me for knowing this down the road. Well, great, right? But when you're 20 years old and there's a football game on Saturday and you've got three papers and a test, you might not be that interested in talking about, you know, how do I find my people and seeking out feedback, right?
Right.
But absolutely applicable. And I say all the time, you know, I'm 30-ish years into my career. These are the things I think about, you
yeah.
know? So I think there's some universality to them. But yeah, so the five, and again, for students too, right? Thinking about how do you show up and be successful at work.
At work.
First, and we start there, first and foremost, because, you know, that's kind of the most important thing, right? You're mm-hmm. going to spend the majority of your time at work. And so how are you doing the work piece effectively? Number two, how are you building a life? And so that is, I always say, is kind of the nuts and bolts of life stuff. So again, how are you managing your time? How are you finding hobbies?
Yeah.
This is one of the biggest things that young alumni say to us is, how do I find a hobby? Which when people first started saying that, I was like, what are you talking about? just go do something.
Yeah, right.
And what I realized finally is this generation, and I'm using that broadly, right? This, you know, over a span of time. But again, to differentiate from my generation, this generation has pretty much had everything scheduled out from that for them for life, right? Mm. They have been told what groups to join, what, you know, sporting events they're going to do, all of those things that they've never actually picked something. Mm. And, you know, when you graduate and you go out into the world, you actually do have at least what feels like a lot of free time. And trying to figure out, well, what do I do with that? And how do I find what, you know, how I should use that time? So how are you spending your time? How do you find hobbies like health and wellness, you know, money management, you know, those kind of basics of life?
Isn't that, if I can just interrupt mm-hmm. for a second, isn't that the essence of work-life balance? That's what you're getting at.
Sure.
Or is it different than that? In other words, your point is you're going to put so much energy into your work life. Are you correlating that and broadening that with your personal life?
Absolutely.
Or is it?
Yeah. And one of the things we start with, again, with the work piece is a values reflection.
Yeah.
Because, and it, we come back to it throughout because, yeah, so how you're spending your time outside of work should align with what you're saying matters to you.
Yeah.
And recognizing that you get a choice in that, you know, when you start. So the next piece is about finding your people.
Finding your people.
Well, are you finding people who align with what you say your values are or not, right?
Yeah.
Are these people getting you closer to your values or pushing you farther away from them, right? Those are important questions. But also from the workspace, and I think it's also a conversation around, you know, just because you want something doesn't mean you get to have it. And I think, like, particularly those first work roles, we have to recognize, you know, this is not supposed to be the perfect job. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as a perfect job, right? This is the first job. Mm-hmm. This is the job where you're going to figure out work and you're going to figure out what you like and what you don't like and learn some skills so that when you go to the next job, maybe you make a slightly better choice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And again, paying attention to the values thing, right? And so if you are someone who likes a lot of autonomy in their work and you're in a space where you're not getting that, well, then let's think about what that means for what comes next. Mm-hmm. So doing the work, building a life, creating community, so finding your people, and that is both recognizing, finding friends, finding partners, all of that good stuff, but how are you finding mentors? How are you finding sponsors, those people that are going to help you professionally, and why all of that is important? The fourth piece is practicing reflection. Hmm. And so that's both about how are you reflecting on what you're learning, you know, during this really critical post-college time, but also how are you seeking out feedback? How are you responding to feedback? One of the things that I always say, I say this in the book, but I use this term all the time, it's all data, right? You are just constantly collecting data about life, about work, and then you, but you have to be the one to collect it and know how to use it for what comes next. And then the last one we call own what's next, which is taking all of that good information and figuring out what that next step is. And you know, and for, we say, you know, for the first 5 years, for some people, this may happen in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. For some people, it may happen in 10 years. But at some point, you're going to make a move. You're going to make a change. And that may be internally, that may be externally, that may be you find a person and that person upends your life and you move across the country, you know, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. But how are you finding the information that you need to make an informed choice? Not a perfect choice, right? One of the things that I said to this alum yesterday was, look, let's say you do this and let's say it doesn't work out. You just do something else, mm-hmm. right? It's okay.
Not forever,
yeah. Yeah. And I know her well enough to know, I mean, she's got a terrific resume and great experience. I'm like, I'm not worried about you, you know, like you're going to be fine. And so also, you know, understanding that, you know, we all make these choices as we go through life and some work out and some don't, and it's okay.
Yeah. Could it, we've talked about this in a previous episode, I think it was with Nicole. When you're making a choice, it was with Nicole, is it, I'm going to make some money and I've been told to do this and I guess I should just go do it, mm-hmm. versus sounds like you're on the side of, no, it's a lot more holistic than that. And you got to think about, am I going to be happy? Mm. And hard to be happy, right? But that's where you come back to the combination of your professional life and your personal life. If you had an answer, good.
Right. And what do you say to the person that says, don't worry about being happy. Find something you're good at, lean into it, make a living, and go be happy later.
There's so much caught up in this. I'm very passionate about this topic. Number one, I think we have to recognize that this whole idea of, you know, kind of find your passion, do what you love, all of this kind of thing, there's so much privilege tied up in that, right? Some people have a massive amount of student loans to pay off. Some people are supporting family members. Some people are whatever, fill in the blank, right? They don't have the luxury of, not necessarily not of being happy, but they don't have the luxury of following, you know, finding their foremost passion, right? They just need to get a job.
And
I think, and we have to find a way to make that okay. And I think there's a lot of conversation happening, particularly at the college level right now, that I think is super dangerous. That is around, we need students to figure out their calling. We need their students to figure out their meaning and purpose in life.
Wait, can I take that one step further?
Yeah.
We need students to get a job within 9 months after graduation so we can be ranked higher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so those two things are at odds with each other, number one. Also, I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't know my calling or my foremost meaning and purpose when I was 22 years old. Mm-hmm. I may not know it now, right? And so I think we have to, you know, we have to provide room and make it okay, because that puts a lot of pressure on a student. Because what if you don't know those things, right? Mm-hmm. Puts a lot of pressure on a very young person to have it all figured out. So that's number one. Also, I will say, I always use the example of my father. So my father was a seventh grade English teacher for 45 years. Yes.
45 years.
Mm-hmm. He went to Princeton Seminary after college, and he will tell you he got a calling to teach, and he went and taught, and he was happy every single day. And I always say to him, and you would have had to, because who wants to spend their time with seventh graders for 45 years. He spent his summers with seventh grader, you know. And he's the one who has always said to me, you don't ever take a job for money, right? Because that's how he's wired. And I think, you know, there is some truth in that. I also think there are some, you got to be able to pay your bills, right? But I also think I see a lot of people, a lot of young alumni in particular, you know, there's this whole kind of you'll have 27 jobs in your lifetime and all this kind of stuff, right? Which is not necessarily true. And, you know, that you're going to move jobs every 2 years. And what I get is the alums who comes to me and says, well, I'm looking for a new job. And I'll say, well, why? Do you not like your job? And they'll say, no, I love my job. Are you not getting challenged? Are you not getting, no, it's great. Do you like the people? Love the people. Why are you looking for a new job? Well, it's 2 years, it's time. And I'm like, it is okay to be happy, right? You win if you're happy, right? Yeah. Like, congratulations. That's what we're all looking for, right?
Right.
So I think it's a very complicated question. I think it's going to, you know, and I think it's very individual. Yeah. And so for some people, it's like, it's also goes, I think it very much goes back to the values thing. So what motivates you? Are you motivated by the climb? Are you motivated by, you know, the moving up the career ladder, so to speak, right? Are you motivated by money? Right? And that's okay. That's fine. Great. Well, then let's find a role where you can have those things. But also, you might be motivated by something else, and that's okay too. And so I think we're very much, we've sort of almost moved from this, you know, this holistic whole person thing to trying to put everyone in one particular box instead of recognizing, like, there's a lot of different paths out there. And our job should be to help the individual figure out where it is, what path they should be on based on what they want, not what I want for them, but what they want. And how can I walk beside you on that path and help you?